All right, how about we go into some word this morning? We, of course, have been on the subject of love. We're going to stay with that for a little while. It's an important Bible subject. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "Now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." So it could be said that love is the greatest subject of the Bible. Some people refer to the Bible as God's love letter. Then I believe it's the 8th verse that says, "Love never fails." Love is a powerful, powerful force. You know, we haven't mentioned it thus far, but in the scriptures, you know, there's three different Greek words given for love, all translated with the English word love. So if you don't know that, you might not know that the Bible's referring to three different kinds of love. I hope it's understood. If not, I'm telling you right now, what we're talking about in love is God kind of love. It's called agape in Greek, agape love. And it's an unconditional and an unchanging love. It's perfect in its working and in operation. So when it says love never fails, you know, we're talking about God's love, God's kind of love. And we're to be imitators of Christ and we're to be like God. Further in Romans, it says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. When you got born again, you received a download, an installation of God's love, agape love, toward you and for the purpose of coming through you. And so when there's those times when we say, it's just hard to love, just can't love. Well, it may be hard to love with your love, but the love of God flowing through you can do what you can't do. Amen. So we're talking about love, and I'm just kind of following, rather than a plan, I'm following the Lord on these various things. And so we did love 101, and then I think we did love never fails. And last week we did love is patient and kind, right? So God's kind of love is patient and kind, and God is patient and kind with you. Today, title is Love Does No Harm. So we're going to talk some more today about what love is and how it operates and how it works. And as you might be thinking on that or reminded of that when you're in a situation, to help us to know. Because if love never fails, all of us have experiences where we feel like we loved and it didn't work, right? And I still run into Christians and believers who have trouble with certain scriptures thinking, well, now that one can't be true because, and then they'll relay experiences that they've had and other people have had. No, scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. If it doesn't seem to be true in my life, there's something wrong that I don't understand it. I didn't work it out right. You know, the problem is with me, not with God or his word, right? And that's a real step of growth for people. And a lot of Christians have not made that step yet where they, you know, if the word says it, it's true. And if I don't understand something, it's with me and it's with people. It's not with God. Because that's a great deal of responsibility to take when people go there. Well, I believe God and I wasn't healed. So therefore, God doesn't heal. Hang on a second. Right? You see what I'm saying? So to receive that responsibility, and I have had plenty of people, even though I approach such things gently, I've had plenty of people through the years just blow up at me. You're saying that I don't have faith? You know, those kinds of things. They come in contradiction to the word. And you know, you got to watch out on those things. Oh, well, hang on a second. Jesus said this to me. You got an argument with him, not with me, you know. So we're continuing to talk about loves. The greater we understand it, the better we understand it, the better we can walk in it, what it really is, and get to that place where the scripture says love never fails. I like the idea of something that never fails. Every time you do it, it works. You like that? Nothing is so frustrating as sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. I don't know. Right? Got to go flying last evening, praise the Lord. And one of the mental hurdles years ago when I was learning to fly that I had to get over was just understanding certain laws of physics. If you make the air flow over an airplane wing at a certain speed, it flies every time. Because I was kind of concerned, well, what if it doesn't this time? Or what if this law of physics just stops working when I'm, you know, 3,000 feet in the air? Just, I mean, that would be bad, right? So when I finally concluded in my heart, you know what? Air over the airplane wing, the wing flies every time, every single time. So all I have to do is keep air flowing over the wing of the airplane, and we're all good, right? I've gotten that with the word too. I just keep it. The word works every single time. Love never fails. Now, what if you just cemented that in your heart? Just that one thing, love never fails. And then any situation, any scenario, dealing people at work, family members, whomever it is, what's the answer? Well, love never fails. If love never fails, and I want to succeed in this, guess I ought to love, right? But that's going to require the proper application of love and knowing really what it is and what to do. Since I mentioned flying, I'll say it again. Certain things that you do in flight are counterintuitive. In other words, your normal reaction is to do this when that's exactly the wrong thing, you should do that. And you have to learn to change your reflexes and how you respond and do certain things. Last night, again, first landing coming in, took my granddaughters and Tammy flying with me. You know, it was a good time. It's a good time. The air was smooth as glass in the evening. It was awesome. But first time coming in for a landing with the airplane there, you know, how much weight I've got in the airplane and so on. It acts just a little different each time. It was warm enough. The air's less dense. That makes an effect. So coming in, I started getting low and slow on a landing. Well, that's not good. Got to correct that. I did add power, you know, give it some gas. When an airplane gets slow on landing, you need to point the nose down. It seems like, oh, no, I'm getting too close to the ground. Let's go up. But you increase lift by gaining airspeed, and getting airspeed is quickest by pointing the nose down. And when you point the nose down and you restore lift, the airplane will actually fly higher and further nose down rather than pulling her back. Counterintuitive. But I've learned that. There are things about loving that are probably this way. There are things about following the word that are this way. Seems like I ought to, No. Down into it. Pointing it down. Counterintuitive. So that's why we're spending some time talking about love. Let's really define it so that you know what it really is, how it really works. And so far along the way, you know, actually Pastor Sandy said to me, okay, you've been on the, how did you phrase that? On the hard side of love, pointing out as we've been talking about love, you know, hey, Jesus in love overturned the money changers' tables and, you know, different things. Love doesn't just excuse and different things like that we've been talking about, what real love is. And how did you say that? I need to talk about the gushy side? Ooey gooey. She says, you need to talk about the ooey gooey side of love a little bit more. Okay. Ooey gooey is good. All right. Well, I'm not sure I'm ooey gooey today, but keep that in mind. But we need to know exactly right. And I'm not going to go there today. We have looked at the scriptures. Remember God, 1 John 4, God is love. And so we've talked about Jesus. If you've seen the Father, Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. So there's no distinguishing between how Jesus conducts himself and the Father did conduct himself. And if God is love, Jesus is love. So everything in his earthly ministry, he did in love. Yet there was a woman who he, in a sense, called a dog and acted like he didn't hear her and refused her request at first. Well, did he love her? Yes. And I don't know, we might talk about this that occasion some other time, you know. He loved her enough to provoke her to get to the place where she responded in faith. And we'll look at that another time. And last week, we talked about some where Jesus, confronted with the woman caught in adultery, stooped on the ground, writing in the dirt, you know, and didn't answer, acted like he didn't hear. And we showed how even the accusers, he was loving the accusers. And so we asked the question, well, would Jesus possibly today do that with us? Stoop down and act like he didn't even hear us? Not say a word? And why would he do that? He would do that because right now to respond to you would not be what loves you. Amen. Let's go this morning then to Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 35. You know, there's so many facets and so many things to talk about. I don't know how long the Lord will lead me to stay with this subject, but we could easily do 6 months. Greatest of these is love, right? Yeah, there's a lot in the Bible about that. Matthew 22, 35 says this, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Well, there they are testing again. and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Then Jesus says this, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Well, law and prophets is a general way to reference all of the Old Testament, all of the Old Covenant. It would have been all of the scriptures that they possessed at the time. They would call that the law and the prophets. So Jesus, in a couple of sentences, says here, there are two commandments. The greatest is love God with all you got. And the second is love other people as much as you love yourself, right? And says everything written really is built around those two. So you can sum it up and say that there are two commandments to be concerned with. Love God, everything you got. Love other people like you love yourself. And that's simple. That's easy. What should we be doing? We should be loving God, and we should be loving other people. Sometimes I need to point out, as yourself, it says. If you don't love yourself, you got a problem there as well. If you don't love yourself, you don't see what God sees. Now, well, how are you going to see what God sees? You're going to have to go to the Word, because Paul wrote about we see as seeing in a mirror. We look at ourselves. When you see Jesus, you see what a born-again person is supposed to be like, and so on. Let's go next then to John chapter 13, verse 34. It says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So Jesus says to the disciples here, "I give you a new commandment." You can tell from the scripture we just read, it's really not new. But it's in a fashion, a way of saying, you know, you got the Ten Commandments, all the law of Moses, all the prophets, and so on. But I'm going to basically give you a new commandment that you will understand all of the others, or apply all the others this way, and that is love one another. And what's the measure of that? Well, you love one another the way I loved you. There's another good way to say here, another place to point out, not what would Jesus do, but what did Jesus do? When you saw how Jesus treated people, that's our example. How did Jesus, what did Jesus do? We note here we have a new command, and that command is to love. Further, he notes this, "Everybody will know that you're followers of Christ by your love for one another." If there's anything that really harms the church and keeps people away in our nation, it's probably this thing right here. Our love walk with one another is not convincing to those outside that it's genuine, real, to be desired, and can I come to church too? In fact, we all know people, well, that'll be the day I'll go back to church, and they all have their experiences, and I can't tell you how many people, well, I went to church, but I got hurt. Well, first of all, join the club. But that's what forgiveness and love is for. People do all kind of things. They're people. You know, you won't be appreciated properly. You won't be thanked right. You won't be respected. You know, and there'll be somebody having a bad day, or they're just, you know, they're not all sanctified in every part. Say things, do things, all that kind of thing. Are politics played in churches? And yeah, all of that. Yeah, that's the case. That's the case. Some people, you know, they're no different from anyone else in the world, but they're in church all the time. So I understand all of that. But if we would all grow in love, walk in love, you know, that probably would be the greatest drawing force to a church like ours, is the obvious love walk in the people. It used to be church signs always had pastored by, you know, the pastor's name out there. I don't bring nobody to church. Oh, well, his name sounds interesting. I can't wait to go hear him. No, it's not like that, is it? Now, there are some people, some have said, reason they don't come here, we don't have a live band anymore. They want live music, live band. I don't know. I think we're doing a fine job. These ladies are doing a fine job. Yeah, we'd like to have guys too. Fine job with the recorded. It's about contacting with God and the anointing. more than it is about live band. So if they want a live band, they do that at the bar. And that's where some of them are. But anyway, if we would grow in our love for one another, it would be the greatest drawing force that we could possibly have. So Jesus gives us two commands, says it's really one command. This would be the way to identify the followers of Christ. It's their love walk. Let's go next to Romans chapter 13. Now, walking in love and loving one another is very easy and very hard. It's very easy if you just put yourself aside, your thoughts and feelings aside, and just do what Jesus did. Just connect to the love of God on the inside of you and share that. Very easy to do when you say, you know, how they view me is not what's important here. But the flesh wants to be acknowledged, appreciated. All that's good. All that's good. Respected, admired, comforted, all those things, you know. So this is difficult but easy. Here we are, Romans chapter 13. Let's start at verse 8. This is often quoted, this verse, for other reasons, but it's good to note the whole context and really what's the flow of the subject here. But notice it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. Now, some have made the subject of debt or owing the theme of this verse. It's not. The theme of the verse is love, people. Now, if you want to say, oh, see, you're not supposed to borrow any money, and you want to live by that and so on, okay, fine, that's good. That's good. But the subject is there's one debt that you have, will always have, and stay in a continual state of debt. You owe love. You and I, we owe love. God loved us. We have a debt. How is it repaid? Well, I love God back. Yeah, but loving what God loves loves God. You ever heard that expression, you know, a baby or something, like a person that has a face only a mother could love? You know, some of us are sort of that way. Only God could love them. Well, maybe not us here in this room. Just generally Christians, just people. Some people only God could love. But because God loves him, he's repaid love by loving who he loves. Loving what he loves. So owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now, I kind of collected together today here commandments and law. Commandments and law. Commandments and law. And people, well, don't give me no law. I don't live by the law. I don't live by the commandments. I live under the leading of the Spirit, right? But here you have New Testament and Jesus himself giving words. And there's other writers of the New Testament that phrase this as a commandment. Love. Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment that you love one another. So it's important. It's really important. It's not optional. Then it goes on here, talking about the law. Verse 9, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all. So he goes into the Ten Commandments that we understand, the commandments carved in stone. He says, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the writer here, the Apostle Paul, echoes what Jesus said. All the law, all the commandments can be summed up in this: love. If you will love, you fulfill all the commandments. Now, it's pretty obvious. It says, you shall not commit adultery. Well, you know, if you love your spouse, that would kind of keep you on the right track. If you love someone, you won't murder. You won't murder them. If you love someone, you won't steal from them. If you love someone, you won't tell a lie on them. You love someone, you rejoice when they get blessed. Coveting is saying, oh, that blessing should have come to me. I want that. Why'd they get that, not me? No, if you love them, you're going like, hallelujah, this is awesome. Look what the Lord has done. I'm excited. I'm in the same blessing as you. Mine will come. Amen. So if you love, you don't violate any of the other commandments, right? So it's pretty simple. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love one another, Jesus also said. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus said to obey two commandments, and both of them are to love. Reading on verse 10, it says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This is where I took title from today. Love does no harm. Last week, we really talked about this. Love is patient and love is kind. You can confront somebody, yet be patient with them. You can correct them, yet you can do so in kindness, with calmness, with a tone of voice and an attitude that doesn't inflame. I've noticed this through the years. How do I put this? Use one of my kids as an example. One of our sons got in lots of fights at school. He was kind of quiet, didn't advertise, oh, I am so going to bust you down. And just kind of, you know, if people picked on him, boom! And one case while he was still in grade school, you know, they were pulling the hood of my coat. Told him, you better not do that. And then boom. And he got suspended. Now I forget why I'm telling this story here. Love does no harm. Fulfillment of the law. Oh, patient. Yeah, patient. Patient. Yeah, Tim was patient. Tim was kind. To a point. Oh, did I say Tim? Oh, sorry, Tim. Love does no harm. We're looking again at a way to define love, to understand love. How do I know if I love them? Well, you do them no harm. Is punching somebody out doing them harm? Well, maybe not, because maybe now you stop the darn thing. Yeah, she's reminding me of another occasion I was just happened to be thinking. This one was in high school. She was saying the superintendent thanked us once for, I don't remember that part, but anyway. I remember one school individual official saying to us, you know, we have to do something, you know, because we have sort of a no-tolerance policy and everything. But boy, this kid had it coming, and it'll probably stop a lot of trouble. Anyway, okay, I think we're seriously off track here somehow or another. Our subject is love, and I think the reason I went in this direction is love is not how people define it. Sometimes love is confrontational. Sometimes love is patient, boom. Remember the old commercial, Aftershave or something, and it was a slap in the face, and they go, thanks, I needed that? Aquavelva? Yeah, okay. Thanks, I needed that. Some people need it, and it's love. Okay. So love here is defined, do no harm. And I guess the reason for going and telling some of this is I want you to think about that. What does that mean, do no harm? And I was thinking about the medical community, the doctors. What are they, is it the Hippocratic Oath? And what does it say? Do no harm. Same thing, do no harm. That's the Hippocratic Oath, right? Yet a doctor will cut you and break bones and tear things out of you and all of that. Is that harm? Depends on if he leaves the scissors in or not. Yeah. We understand that sometimes painful procedures that take recovery. I mean, you know, have been some in here, knee replacements, hip replacements. You know, they get in there and they saw bones. It sounds violent, right? That's why my dad calls the doctor the old sawbones. Yeah. But it's do no harm. Is it love for a surgeon to go in, injure, take things out, whatever that they do? Yeah, we understand that. So sometimes love is, okay, today I'm a surgeon. I'm going to cut that out of you. And sometimes I'm trying to provoke just a little bit. Love does no harm, just to make you think. Love does no harm. Love does no harm. And if love does no harm, I want this to come back in recall to your memory. When you're in a situation, okay, I need to love them. Well, how do you love them? Well, love's patient. Love is kind. Love does no harm. And one of the reasons I want you to consider this, would it harm an individual to let them keep going the way they're going? So to let somebody keep going the way they're going, if it brings harm, we haven't loved them. And sometimes you say, well, love never fails. Well, it seems to have failed me. Well, hang on a second. Did we properly apply love? So do no harm. Harm comes in so many different ways. Harm can come from things that people say, right? And am I the only one in the room that would like to have back some of the things that I've said? Because it did harm, right? So before we answer, will this harm or will this heal? And you can bring confrontational words, words that convict, words that stop somebody dead in their tracks. What you're doing, you can't do. It's not right. And you can phrase it in such a way with patience and kindness that it's not weakened in any way, but it doesn't have the attitude and the harm. Sometimes when somebody goes there, oh, no, she didn't. Yes, she did. We're just going to up it, up, escalate. That's why you watch Jerry Springer or show something like that. Is he still on? I don't know if he's on. He's still on? You watch that for the show of all the escalation, you know, and how they, I don't know how people can both 1,000 miles an hour keep their train of thought and go at each other like that, you know. But so things people say harm. Before you answer, love does no harm. To correct someone can often be good and right and loving, but how it's done can harm or it can heal. So what we say, what we don't say, sometimes, you know, hey, I wasn't a part of this. I just kept quiet while a friend was being attacked by another person, while a minister, you know, is being attacked or things like that. Sometimes, you know, wasn't me, but what we fail to say. And again, you know, you can say things in love to somebody, stop something cold. This area occurs to me as well, discipline for children. Oh, we love our child, therefore we're going to let them choose any way they want, whatever they want. Spanking, oh no. You know, some of these kinds of things. Did anybody know who Mom of the Year is? We got Mother's Day next week. The lady that some have said, now that, there's the Mom of the Year. You know, it took about 2 days for a major backlash. Oh no, beating your child like that, that's not love. If you don't, how many know what I'm talking about? Let me see your hands. All right, that's about half of you. But you know, there was this rioting in Baltimore this past week, and one mother saw her son, the hoodie and the mask and just the eyes showing, with a brick approaching the police, right? 16 years old. And she says, oh, no. Went out on the street and from across the street caught eyes with her son holding a brick ready to throw at the police, right? And he realized, oh, no. And she says when she saw that, she didn't care cameras, nothing around there. She went marching across the street, come here, you know, got to hold him, tearing that hood off and slinging him around. Upside the head, you know, just giving it to him, right? Now, some call that beating, but I noticed it didn't injure him. Other than maybe a little bit of pride, right? It didn't harm him. No, it helped him. He may think he's all that, going to take on the police, but he won't take on mama, right? I saw that, and I have to admit, I was cheering. You go, get him. And really, yes, I was just going there. I was thinking, where's the other moms? Where are the fathers? And then you have a few men speak up, and oh, they are lambasted, you know, when they talk about having respect for police and some of these things, and just, or let's wait for some facts before we rush to some sort of a judgment as this or that happened. So anyway, disciplining for children. Love does no harm. And to allow kids to go the way they would go harms them. It can harm them. Maybe even grown children. Some of us have grown children, and some of our grown children may not be living for the Lord exactly the way they need to be. I know different ones talk to me as a pastor, different situations. Sometimes they come around and expect you to help them with all their finances and this and that. And well, now the direction that you're going, love does no harm. I'm not going to support wrong actions, wrong decisions, and so on. Love does no harm. Just being the ATM machine can harm them. Amen. No change. No change. Remember the story of the prodigal son. That father gave the son his inheritance, but then after that, when it ran out, he wasn't wiring money to the pig pen. Love does no harm. Amen. I'm here, ready for your return. You return to the house repentant. You live by house rules. We're good. We'll pick up and carry on. We'll have us a good time. We'll throw a party. Love does no harm. We have to ask the question, does this harm that person? You know, if I do this, if I don't do this, love does no harm. I hope that's enough to get you kind of thinking along these lines. At work, I can tell you, those that work in retail, and we've got some here that work in retail, employee theft is a huge problem in retail. They got a nice name for it. They call it shrinkage. The inventory shrunk. You know, any retail, people coming and going in the store are suspect in some cases. They catch some of them. Most of it is employee in the house. I don't care how big the company is. They'll never miss it and so on. Love does no harm. Love does no harm. So just apply that test. Think about that. Would this harm someone? Would this harm the employer? Would this, whomever it is? And then let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Because if I can just get you thinking about love does no harm, you'll come up with the right answer. So if you're patient, kind, and think about what harm could come to this individual if I do that? What harm could come to them if I don't? And make your decisions accordingly. It says in Philippians 2, verse 1, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Now, we could see in this scripture several things that we could say about love, and Paul writes here the importance of love. And if you're walking in love with Christ, it should turn up in our fellowship with one another, being like-minded, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, we aren't necessarily going to agree on everything, but we can be of one mind. Yeah, unified in purpose. That one thing there is so powerful that there was a time in history where mankind was using that unity for wrong purposes. And God says, if I allow this to become so evil, so he came and confused their speech so they couldn't be of one mind. Tower of Babel I'm talking about. Couldn't be of one mind. What can be done when a people become of one mind? Well, how do you do that? Love makes space for others and open for others. I love to fly. My wife does it. I love seafood. My daughters don't. But it's okay. They don't have to love seafood. I'm not sure how we're going to work this out about her not loving to fly. I find other people to fly with me. Tammy loves it. She'll go. So love makes room for differences, yet we can be of one mind. Love does no harm. Just think about that. Think, do no harm. And as it says here in the fourth verse at the end. Look out not only for your interests, but the interests of others. Love does no harm.